Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Remember board games like good old Monopoly, Risk, and Scrabble? Turns out they're still popular, still being played, and being reinvented along the way. They pretty much have to be given the popularity of their counterparts in the digital world. I'm talking about games such as Minecraft and Angry Birds. We'll get an update on the world of board games later on this hour. But first up today, the Kansas City Rep is turning 50 this year. There's a big gala celebration tonight, and today we'll take a look back at that first half century, and we'll look ahead as well. With me today is Eric Rosen. He's the fourth artistic director in the 50-year history of the Kansas City Rep. He's also a nationally recognized playwright, director, and producer. Eric, it's always good to have you here.
Thanks, Welcome. Steve. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Robert Trussell. He's the theater critic for the Kansas City Star. Bob, welcome to you, too.
Good to be back.
Well, Bob, you just wrote about the humble beginnings of the Rep back 50 years ago. You wrote this in the newspaper. In the beginning, budgets were small, seasons were short, and shows were performed in a venue called the Quonset Hut that lacked air conditioning. Where was the Quonset Hut, and what kind of experience was it to see a play there?
Well, all I know is what people can tell me. I'm not sure of the exact location.
Yeah.
I don't think it's far from where the Rep building is
today.
Yeah. But Jim Costin used to tell me stories about putting on shows in the Quonset Hut. And they would do shows that would be a challenge to an audience under the best of circumstances. You know, they did things like Marat Sade in the early days. He had these memories of the audience coming out of intermission, you know, with sweat pouring down but totally committed to it, you know, just mm-hmm. And, you know, I think in the early days, I've got the history here, but the in the early days, there were certain, like their second season, they only did four shows. Mm-hmm. And the number of shows varied from season to season in those days. But it was all basically the accepted wisdom, which I believe is accurate, is it was all basically Patricia McElrath, the founding artistic director.
Who spearheaded and was the big catalyst to get this thing going.
That's right. And yeah. Also basically the founder of the UMKC Theater Department. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, I didn't start covering theater for the Star until about 1990. And George Keithley was the artistic director by that time. But if you go back and look at some of the things that were done under Pat McElrath's tenure, you know, she had, if you talk to Pat, you know, she was really like this proper, almost Victorian lady. You know, she was very soft-spoken, very polite. But if you look at some of the things she did, she had this audacious streak when it came to doing theater that ended up with, the result was that she would bring in some very high-profile people, you know, mm-hmm. directors like John Houseman and she would bring in Ying Ruxing from China and director Ellis Reb. And one of the more audacious things she did was doing Nicholas Nickleby, the two-part
Dickens
adaptation, which, you know, and I would have to say that, you know, Eric's already announced it on his next season. They'll be doing Angels in America. And that's probably the first, just in terms of scope and size, you know, that's the first time the Rep has done something on that scale since mm-hmm. Nicholas Nickleby. So,
you know, Eric, where was the Quonset Hut? Do you have any feel for that either?
Yeah, it was right on the UMKC campus, mm-hmm. Not far from where the University Playhouse was. probably, if you just go kind of towards the center of campus from where Spencer Theater is now, it's maybe a 7 or 8 minute walk.
You know, it's interesting to me that the rise of the Rep sort of parallels the rise of regional theaters in so many corners of America. I'm thinking about the Guthrie up in Minneapolis. I'm thinking about the Seattle Rep. Tell us about that. What was going on in the country 50 years ago that brought us the Kansas City Rep as we now know it today?
Sure. Well, you think of that period between, say, 62 and 1966, the Ford Foundation was seeding grants and communities across America. They gave Tyrone Guthrie money to go to Minneapolis. They gave Zelda Fitzschindler money to go to Washington and start Arena Stage. And all those theaters started 50 years ago. So we're in this glut of 50-year celebrations, and the Rep was one of those. Hmm. And that was sort of the zeitgeist was what the movement's question was, what if we took theater out of New York and out of touring and created theater economies in mid-sized and large American cities to create companies of actors and artists who could make a living and live and create work in communities outside of New York.
And by George, it worked.
But yeah, now there are over 600 members of the Association of Nonprofit Theaters, TCG, of which I'm a board member, where in the founding year of TCG, which was 50 years ago, there were eight. Hmm. You think of from 8 to 600, and there are probably 1,200 nonprofit theaters in America. It's grown to a pretty significant industry, both in this town and across the country.
Yeah. Well, McElrath, going back to Patricia McElrath, Bob, her vision was to establish a training program where theater students could work side by side with professional actors, designers, and directors. And I'm guessing that original vision is still being followed today to some extent.
To some extent. I think what you hear people say is that she sort of envisioned it as the equivalent of a teaching hospital. And where the students could get hands-on experience. The thing to remember, though, is that the kids who are in the MFA program at UMKC are already professional. I mean, these are people who have already worked as professionals. Mm. And so they're just going to a higher level of training. And in the old days, it's good to remember that the word repertory in the title of the company had a literal meaning, because in the early days it was a true repertory company, meaning that they would do a season of shows that were performed in a sort of complicated rotating schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a company of actors who were all sort of on payroll. And so an actor might play the lead one night and play a walk-on the second night, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So every now and then you'll see a company try – well, actually, the rep will be doing that to some extent with Angels in America, because it's basically two full-length plays that have to be done in a way that allows audiences to see the whole thing if mm-hmm. they can. But so I hear the stories from some of the old-time actors about what it was like to do repertory at the rep in yeah. the early days. And it sounded like very hard work – very strenuous, very complicated, and a lot of fun.
Hmm. Well, why have theaters gotten away from that style of running a theater company, Eric?
You know, the economics of doing anything when you're in a semi-professional environment or your workers are paid yeah. minimally, you can do a lot more creative things. When the rep became a union company, joined Actors Equity in 1979 when we moved into Spencer Theater, the economics of that just kind of go out the window. There just isn't a way to keep that many people employed and still create productions across a season. So one by one, a lot of theaters like the Rep stopped doing repertory for the full season. Some companies, there are only a few in the country that still do repertory at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame. I think it's such an interesting model, but the labor demands are excessive, and the audience's demand is not necessarily there, like an opera company to say on Tuesday we're going to see the Glass Menagerie and on Thursday we're going to see Angels in America, so we're going to come every night of the week to
wow.
the theater.
Yeah.
We're happy if people come visit us six nights a year, and in those days I think you had to come, you know, for pretty much 3 weeks straight to see all the work.
You know, looking back over the arc of the history of the Kansas City Rep, it's interesting. The Rep took the name the Missouri Repertory Theater early on. Why the word Missouri there for a company based in Kansas City, Bob? What was the thinking?
I can't really answer that. All I know is that when Peter Altman was the artistic director, it was during his time that they decided to change the name the Kansas City Repertory Theater, and that was precisely why they did it. It was because they discovered that people didn't know where we were. You know, mm-hmm. they didn't know where the Rep was. Was it St. Louis? Was
ah.
it? And a lot of people, who aren't familiar with the geography of our region, if they hear the words Kansas City, they automatically assume that's in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And so
my mother always did to her dying day. Mom, no, I for a while lived in Missouri. Mom, I'm in Missouri, not Kansas. Yeah.
So, you know, Altman and his team decided a name change was appropriate. And
yeah.
I agree with that decision. I think it was a good one.
Let's get our listeners involved here. We're looking for your memories of shows you've seen at the Rep. What was your favorite one, and what performances do you still recall, maybe even years later? And did anybody out there ever see a show when the Rep first began in a place known as the Quonset Hut? Our number here, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. You know, Eric, as you look back at this 50 years
50-year arc of history. Can you divide the history of the Rep, you know, into periods like the Stone Age or the Renaissance? And I'm joking, but you get my point.
Sure. I think that the since there are only four artistic leaders, it's easy to divide the company into four segments. But also, Patricia McElrath's tenure was, you know, if you think about that first 15 years to go from an idea and a Quonset hut and some summer actors to opening a really beautiful state-of-the-art theater in 1979. That's only 15 years. I've been at the Rep 7 years. That's twice the time I've been there. So I think that must have been just an extraordinary time. And then there's really the post-Spencer era, which has had three distinct periods when Dr. Mack was still around, and then the Keithley era, which was a really an important time for the Rep. We built up a lot of our
Michael Keithley.
George Keithley.
George Keithley, that's right. Yeah.
And Jim Costin led the company, and I think that was an era of fiscal conservatism, and they've saved up a lot of money, and we're grateful to them because we have a sizable endowment that keeps us going. And then Peter Altman's time, I think, was really about nationalizing the company and finding a new model that would work best for the Rep while, you know, honestly, pulling away a bit from the university and the training programs. And in my time, I think, has been about trying to reconnect all the DNA links of what the company was about to get ready for this anniversary while pursuing a very, very ambitious national agenda to make us front of mind when you think about what are the great regional theaters in the country. My megalomaniacal dream is that we'll redeem those 50 years by being the company you say. You know, when you say the Guthrie, you say Kansas City Rep, you say Seattle Rep, you say Arena Stage, and that's, I think, where we're headed.
Would you divide the periods up the same way, Bob Trussell?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think George, I'd like to say something about George Keithley. He was a very talented guy. I liked him a lot, but he was very passionate about theater. I don't think he ever got to do everything he wanted to do because Jim Costin kept a very tight-fisted hold on the purse strings. And if George had been given a little bit more money, he might have been able to do more interesting things. He did some really good things, but I always felt, in retrospect, I've always felt a little sorry for George in there, in that respect, because
short end of the stick, yeah.
Because his successors, first Peter Altman, got more money from the board, and then Eric got more money from the board, so they were able to do things that George could not have done, financially.
We've grown from a $2 million a year company in George's day to now between a $7 and $8.5 million company. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just
that's
the last
impressive.
Decade.
Yeah. Well, before I go to some phone calls at 816-235-2888, you know, the key, Eric Rosen, to success in the theater in the year 2014 is what?
Be nice to your theater critic.
Well, yeah. That's one step.
That's one step.
And what else?
You know, the thing about theater is it is an art form that has always been described as dying. And it always emerges. And I think that the key to our future success is that the next generation behind me comes up and takes over these institutions and reinvents them the way that I'm trying to reinvent this one in my era. Mm-hmm. I think that's the health of our field is dependent on young people being finding a way in. And
but there's constant tension, though, isn't there, between tradition and the Christmas Carol and the reinvention side of your brain? And there's tension there all the time, right?
Yeah, but I think that's when you sign up for this job, you know, you have to be everything to everyone. And the question is, how do you introduce a new course in the meal and have everyone still feel that they got all the courses that they liked? And now suddenly they're listening to hip hop musicals that are going to run off Broadway. And maybe they don't. Maybe it's good enough that they don't notice that it's an entirely new tradition of creating new voices for the Rep is a very short tradition, but to me vital for our future.
Bob Trussell, the key to the future, the key to success in the theater in 2014 is what in your mind?
You mean at the Rep?
At the Rep.
Well, first of all, they've announced what looks like a really excellent season. And
the 50th season coming up starting this fall.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned Angels in America, but the entire season looks very strong, very
promising.
Includes
Our Town to start things off, and we'll get to some other ones here too. Yeah.
But, you know, I'd like to reference something Eric was talking about just a minute ago, which was, you know, his vision is for the Rep to be mentioned in the same breath with places like Seattle Rep and
the Guthrie, and
ACT, the Guthrie, and so on. And I just came back from New York, and I saw some shows up there. And at least two of them are like big shows that have gotten tons of attention that appear to be commercially successful or will be, that started off at regional theaters. And one was All the Way, the Schenkins play about LBJ, which began at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And the other was the musical A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, which began at Hartford Stage. So when you talk about a theater, a regional theater doing or developing new work, ultimately the reward, those are the rewards, which are A, enormous prestige, B, potentially some serious financial rewards for the theater. So because both those shows that I just mentioned are probably going to run a good long time, and that means a revenue stream for the theater company.
We're talking about the 50th anniversary of the Kansas City Rep. They're celebrating that tonight, a big anniversary celebration beginning at 7 at the Spencer Theater. Information is available at kcrep.org. And we're looking for your favorite memories of shows you've seen at the Rep. 816-235-2888 is our phone number. Let's go to Teresa from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning. I just have a real quick memory, and I want to say it's from the 80s, so maybe it predates Robert Trussell, but they did Equus with David McCullum, the actor from The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and it was a believable production. So that's just my main memory. But Eric, keep up the good work.
What did you like about that production, Teresa?
David McCullum was just riveting, but it also combined some local people, and this is kind of a funny memory. I won't say the name of the actress, but there's nudity in it, and it was someone that I actually worked with, and I didn't realize before the play that she was nudity.
Surprise.
So, I mean, and it was, she was wonderful, and she's still a great actress, and she's still around, but that was kind of a shock for me. I didn't realize that was going to be in there.
That'll stay with you. Yeah. Teresa, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
So welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Phil from Kansas City, Missouri. Phil, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. I go back quite a ways. The first performance I went to at the Playhouse was in 1948, December of 1948.
Was it around back then?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the first performance in the Playhouse. At that time, it was the University of Kansas City Playhouse.
Okay.
The play was Elizabeth the Queen by Maxwell Anderson. The guest star was Jane Cowell, and the guest director was Blevins Davis.
Phil, that predates the 50 years. You're going back even earlier than that. Why aren't those years counted in the Rep's history here? Eric, any feel for that?
There was certainly a tradition of performance in theater in Kansas City, a huge long one. Felicia Landre, our theater history professor, has written a beautiful book about the history of Kansas City theater.
Yeah, and I gave her my original copy of the program. The productions go all the way back to 1933 and 1934.
Wow. That's great.
I think
that's
the difference was the idea of organizing a company that would be ongoing and self-sustaining is taking all that theatrical energy in communities and turning it into a professional effort that could sustain itself over decades.
It was the school. It goes all the way back to the beginning of the university.
Yeah,
right.
Well, Felicia does have in the archives now the original of this program with the, and it is the history. The original playhouse, as you say, was the Quonset Hut.
All right. Phil, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it.
Okie dokie. Bye.
Eric Rosen, the toughest part of running a theater company these days is what?
You know, for all the arts, getting through this recession was extremely challenging.
Yeah,
I think moving back into a mode of progress and growth is challenging, and you sometimes people like me, your vision exceeds your pocketbook, and the biggest challenge is persuading a community that where we're going is as critical and important as what happened at the Nelson, is what happened at the Kaufman. I think the Rep is the future of the public face of Kansas City, and the work we're going to do over the next few years to really make permanent our advances is going to be key, and that's all about people in this community stepping forward and making it truly, truly great.
Let's go to Gene from Kansas City, Missouri. Gene, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to mention some of the plays that I've seen. I've probably been going to the Rep off and on since 1980 or so.
Mm-hmm. Bless you.
Most recently, in the last season, I found Carousel to be phenomenal. And Death of a Salesman, I thought was wonderful, though very depressing. Very wonderful.
Not our fault.
Going back a few years, the production of Into the Woods, and then a few years back before that, Picasso at the La Pina Gil, I thought was just a beautiful, sparkling production. And going way back, this is like 1980 or so, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
All right.
I thought was phenomenal. That's when they were doing it in repertory with Hamlet.
Thanks, Jean. I appreciate that. That's terrific.
Okay. All righty. Bye-bye.
We'll get some of Bob Trussell's favorite memories of some of the shows he's seen in just a moment here. Mary Jo from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning. I just thought it was interesting that no one exactly remembered where the Quonset Hut was. I was a student during Dr. McElrath's time there and graduated with a theater degree from UMKC. And the Quonset Hut was, it was sort of southeast of the what is now the Student Center. That used to be a cul-de-sac that you could drive through, and it was up on the corner just southeast of that and sort of down in a little gully. It was quite a facility, but we had a great time there. And my fondest memory of Dr. McElrath is it didn't matter what play we were doing, after the final dress rehearsal, we'd all be in the green room, and she'd say, "I think we have a hit on our hands."
And, great line.
Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't always, but it was a good time.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why were there bonfires?
Bonfire?
Apparently in the summer, in the early days, we're doing an event on July 7th, actually. There was a tradition of having bonfires outside the Quonset Hut in the middle of a Kansas City summer, coming out of an air-conditioned building to these legendary bonfires, and I've never quite got an answer why they were there.
I was not in the rep. I was a theater student. We worked with the rep sometimes, but we did our own productions. I wasn't there in the summer. I don't have any recollection of the bonfires. I'm sorry.
Anyone can tell me about the bonfires.
816-235-2888 to talk about the bonfires. Mary Jo, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bob Trussell from The Star, you've been saying you've covered Kansas City theater since 1990. As you look back over at the rep over those years, what shows have stood out to you, Bob?
Let me preface by saying that during those years, I've witnessed a steady increase in the quality of the rep, and not just the rep, but Kansas City theater in general.
Mm-hmm.
Rep has something to do with that. But, you know, during Eric's time, Eric, you know, has described the first play he did here as a Hail Mary pass. It was Matt Sachs's one-man hip-hop musical play,
mm-hmm.
and it turned out to be a big hit. And I was a fan of the show. And, you know, during Eric's time, he's you know, I was a big fan of Venice. And, but, you know, what I find interesting about Eric Rosen is that as you would see with Clay and with Venice, you know, he's a guy who's very open to sort of new and sort of hip concepts. You know, Venice was an attempt to sort of remake a music, what a musical is, mm-hmm. and what it was capable of doing. At the same time, he'll come back and direct something like Death of a Salesman or August Osage County, which would have to be considered conventional, well-made plays. And those were fantastic productions, you know. Mm. During Altman's time, Peter Altman, he had some kind of audacious ideas of his own. He would partner with other regional theaters and sometimes get involved in commissioning new work. And so they would do things like the Voysey Inheritance, which was David Mamet's adaptation of an Edwardian play
mm-hmm.
that actually had a lot of relevance because it was all about a financial family in England, you know, running a pyramid scheme, basically,
yeah.
and the fallout from all that. He did some other good stuff. And during every era of the rep, under every artistic director that I've that has coincided with my time as theater critic.
Yeah.
I've seen outstanding work. You know, George Keithley, if left to his own devices, could could do outstanding work, and he sometimes did.
Huh. Bruce from Miriam, you're on Up to Date. Bruce, good morning.
Morning. I worked as a stage carpenter back in the 70s in the Quonset Hut. The repertory was kind of interesting because there was a sliding platform in the proscenium, and there were wings on either side that were as wide as the proscenium, and the platform was as wide as two prosceniums. And while one production was in place in the proscenium, they would build the set for the next production in the repertory in the wing, and then they'd just slide the stage over, and then they'd strike the old set and build a new one for the next production while the second production was in play. As far as the bonfires are concerned, I remember a patio with a kind of a structure with a fireplace in it, had a little sculpture, and I don't remember ever seeing it lit, but they may have lit fires in that at one time.
Huh. All right, Bruce, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah. We're talking about the 50th anniversary of the Kansas City Rep. Let's go to Dee Dee. Dee Dee from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning. I've been a ticket holder at the Rep since 1972 when I moved here from New York. So I've kind of seen some of all of the four iterations that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
First of all, the Quonset Hut was never air conditioned.
Just for the record, yeah.
It's not air conditioned, yeah. The fireplace is still on campus. And I'm curious to know what the number of season ticket holders at the Rep is now compared to what it was when George Keithley was the artistic director.
Eric Rosen?
It's I don't know the data back that far. I mean, we've kind of gone as high as 10 or 11,000, as low as in the kind of depths of the recession, around 7 or 8,000. It's been fairly constant, and the revenue streams have been pretty consistent over the years. It's what we haven't seen. Tremendous growth in that area. Most of our growth is in single tickets, which is more the mode these days.
Yeah.
But we sure do love our subscribers.
And that puts more pressure on you too, doesn't it?
But it's the whole field. You know, the entire industry has seen a 20% decline in subscriptions and a 40% increase in single ticket sales.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So we're just working in a different model, and it puts different pressure on people like me. I can't really program a play that I know no one is going to come see. The way you could if you knew you had 10,000 subscribers lined up to come. So I've got to be a little bit more audience aware.
That's
with each selection or figure out who we're going to get to come, if it's going to be an unknown or a potentially controversial title.
Mark from Leawood. Mark, good morning.
Hi. I saw Murat Saad when I was in high school, turned me on to theater. A very exciting production. The actors came out and spit at you, Bob Elliott, all these terrific actors got their start out there. The fireplace, so I don't think it was a bonfire, there was a fireplace at basically, like you said, Cherry Street, the other side of Cherry Street where the Quonset Hut was, and there was a courtyard in front there. Now, it was summer rep, so I don't know many times they had to light it. It wasn't that cold outside, but that's what it was. It was a fireplace.
I've seen photographs of it lit. That's all I know.
All right, Mark. Thank you. I appreciate it. Let's go to Sarah from Spring Hill. Sarah, you're on Up to Date. We're talking about the Kansas City Rep's 50th anniversary. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I wanted to say two things. The first is that I am a season ticket holder, and I certainly will continue to be so as long as we live in Kansas City.
Thank you.
I'm so pleased with the quality. The first play I knew what we had something going on that was special was when my husband and I went to see To Kill a Mockingbird a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in one of the first five rows, and at the end of the play, my husband was in tears. So I said, okay, this is working for us. And then when I saw August Osage County a couple of years ago, and I refused to go to the movie because there's no way the movie could have topped what I saw on stage.
Oh, that's neat.
Thank you.
That's neat. Good phone call, Sarah. Thank you.
Those two things. Thank you, Eric. I certainly appreciate your work.
Thanks, Sarah. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
You know, just to wrap up a couple final points, Bob Trussell, aren't there, you know, four or five Hall of Fame Rep actors that you would point to, again, looking back over your years covering the Rep?
Well, that's kind of a tough call.
Yeah. <All right. laughs>
And here's why. Because Kansas City is blessed. I mean, for the
with lots of good ones.
The thing about Kansas City is that for the size population we've got, there's an inordinate amount of theater in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons there is because we just happen to have a resident population of professional actors, not just actors, but artisans and craftspeople as well, but certainly actors.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the best actors in Kansas City have appeared at the Rep, mm-hmm. as well as most of the other theaters in town. The so it's hard to, you know.
You're taking a flyer on this one.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
Merle Moore's performance in August Osage County was one that will loom large in my memory. She's been on a roll the last few years anyway. She's been turning in mm-hmm. one great performance after another.
She's amazing.
That one was remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, that production, I'll say this. This sounds like boosterism. I don't care. You know, but that production was at least the equal of the version I saw on Broadway.
Hmm.
And because the actors were just as good as the people I saw on Broadway.
That's interesting.
You know, that's what we've got in Kansas City, not just at the Rep, but in all the theaters here. That's what we've got.
Yeah. I want to just wrap up here by looking at your 50th anniversary season coming up, Eric. You're going to begin with Our Town that we mentioned earlier. And I want to ask you about two things about that production. It won't be a conventional proscenium show. I want to ask you about that. And also, you've invited director David Cromer to come back and deal with that show. Tell us about both those decisions.
Well, this is actually David Cromer's production that really made him famous. It ran in New York for 2 or 3 years. It's the longest running production of Our Town ever. And David imbued the story, took away its sort of folksy charm, and found the real heart of what Our Town was and why it was revolutionary. And I was thrilled when David said he would come create a Kansas City actor-based production for us. He's on his way to do it in London. He just did it in California. So it's going to be a really major event, and we're really lucky to have that production. We had it's going to be a brilliant, mostly local cast, and part of the trick of it is to reorient the audience's experience. So if you saw Carousel at the Rep or if you saw Cabaret, that would kind of move the audience around. We're going to do something similar to that to create a more intimate environment so you can really hear and be in that story.
Well, congratulations to the Kansas City Rep, the big 50th anniversary celebration tonight beginning at 7 at the Spencer Theater. More information about that, just go to kcrep.org. I want to thank Eric Rosen, the Rep's nationally recognized playwright, director, and producer, the fourth artistic director in the Rep's history, and Bob Trussell from the Kansas City Star. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in today. So good to have you.